What's up, everybody? This is Timbo, and this is episode 110 of True Size.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to True to Size. We are a weekly podcast centered around the wild world of sneakers. I will be your host today. My name is Lawrence Hopkins, and I'm joined by the rest of the quarantine at Canada Got Soul, Mr. Joel Hernandez. Are you okay? You sounded like there was only like a little bit left in a drink, and you were trying to suck it through a straw. I don't know if that's
taking
the I don't know if that's what you were trying to go for, but
420.
Okay, got it. It did not come off that way through the microphone, just so you're aware. And Alvin Martinez,
Merry Weedsmas, people.
Excellent, excellent. Everybody's ready to go this week. And are you guys ready?
Oh, here we go.
Bars.
You probably won't meet a nicer dude, but on the court, just know he'll eat your food. Kick game so serious, maybe he should call a flagrant on him.
Oh.
He's back for some basketball talk. Say what up to our boy, Tim.
Hey.
Bars for real.
Timbo, thank you for coming back once again. It's been almost 50 episodes since you've been here, so it's long overdue. Thank you for joining us.
Unbelievable, man.
Apologize. Crazy. Hope you're staying safe in this crazy time. It is kind of insane. But yeah, thanks for being here with us. We've got a cute little show for you guys this week. There's not a whole lot of new news to cover, so we're going to try and swap out This Week in Kicks for a new temporary segment to fill the space. We also know a lot of you are hyped after watching The Last Dance, so we're going to fill more of that basketball void with this podcast. We miss watching basketball and talking basketball, so we're just going to have a very basketball-heavy episode this week. We're going to talk signature sneakers, rule changes, and what the rest of the NBA season could look like if it returns. But first, Tim, you have 25 seconds. Can you name five colorways of the Foamposite Pro?
Oh, man. Dr. Dewey.
Yes.
Carolina Blue.
Yes.
There's a royal blue with black.
There is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There's a red with black.
There is.
Mm-hmm. Let's go one more. One more.
One more.
Fine green.
Yes!
Is that one of the first people to actually get a Can You Name Five?
Yep.
I think it, wow.
He was cool, yeah, comic composed. So.
That was amazing. He didn't, that's the thing. You can't stumble at the beginning. You have to be ready at all times, and Timbo was ready. Tim, do you know why I asked you that specific question?
I do, actually.
You do know.
Because I named one of the pairs, the Carolina Blues, that Lawrence and I, we did a little trade.
Yes. Yes.
They were a real beat. They were a fixer-upper.
I got them restored, actually. I don't remember who restored them for me, but I got them restored, and they were a size 10 and a half. So they're no longer with me because they're two sizes too large for me. But back when I bought shoes that did not fit me, I loved that shoe. Loved it. And that's why I asked you the Foamposite Pro question.
Yeah.
And second,
I do remember
the other pair. The other pair was Birthday LeBron 4s.
Yes, sir.
Birthday LeBron 4s in the special case thing and everything.
Oh,
yeah.
Sick.
Jeez.
Also Foamposite.
Plus the foam. Yeah. And they were also a 10 and a half. They might have been an 11. That was a dark time in my history. I don't want to get into that yet. Save it for like EEE or something. Like, we don't need to talk about it before we even get to Alvin.
Oof. Fire round.
Damn, that was almost really smooth. That was almost a really good transition.
Yeah.
We like to start every show with a quick hitting question from you, our listeners. And this week's question comes from Mrs. Q-Mart.
Hey.
Crazy. I had a different fire round in there. We'll use it next episode. Mrs. Q-Mart sent in a last second submission for the fire round, and it fits perfectly with the content we're going to talk about today. So I felt obligated to use it for this episode. And her question is, since the release of The Last Dance, if you ever met Michael Jordan, which pair of Jordans would you wear? And what is the one question you would ask him? That's pretty crazy to even think of. And Alvin's had the longest to think about it, so we're going to go with Alvin first. What do you think?
I'm going to wear my my DMP Jordan 11s.
Ooh, like it.
And I'm gonna bring a gold marker, permanent marker, and get him to sign it. Mm. And then my question would be, can we go have dinner together?
Ooh. Ooh, you're going to ask him on a date. I like it.
Nice. I mean, no, sorry. Do you want to have dinner at my house? And then he could just chill. And then he can meet Kaya. And then I could ask him all the questions I want.
I understand. So the one question is not going to be, can you sign my shoes? You're going to have a hard time with that permanent marker and the shoe without asking him, can you sign the shoe?
No, it's going to be like, yo, sign my shoe.
Oh, a statement. I like the confidence. Oh, that's good. I like the confidence. Fuck that shit. I like the confidence a lot.
You don't know about Canada Got Sold?
He should be asking for our autograph.
You know how big our share is in your company, bro? Are you dumb?
As a fact, put a pretty big dent in it. Joel, what's the one shoe you're going to wear if you could meet Michael Jordan?
Oh, man. I would probably... Like I was messing around earlier when we were talking about this, and I'd probably wear the Pippin up tempo. And the question I would ask him is if we can have a dance.
Would it be the first dance or the middle dance, or
it'll be the middle dance.
The middle dance before the last dance.
Before the last dance.
Timbo, what do you think?
White cement threes.
Nice.
Ooh.
And I'd ask him to play a round of golf.
Oof.
Ooh.
That's very good.
That's another good conversation.
Wow, you guys have...
Oh, jeez.
Wow. Okay. Wow, you guys put more thought into this than I did. Shit. So the shoe I'm going to wear is the black cement three. I think that goes without saying. The question was going to be, before you guys gave me better ideas... what's your favorite pair of Jordans was going to be my question.
That's a good one.
It is decent, but now that you guys are going to get to hang out with them more, my question, I don't know, can we play some 21 or something? Anything to spend more time, I guess. Now I feel like...
Yeah.
So,
and then he'd give you pointers and shit, like,
How old is he now? Like 55? I might have to give him some pointers now. He's getting up there.
Or, yo, it'd be like, yo, let's play one-on-one. If I win, we're friends for life.
Yeah, that's what I want. A forced friendship with Michael Jordan. Yeah, for real.
I want those Oregons, bro.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Sasha, Mrs. Kumart, that was a very good... Is it Mrs. or Ms. Alvin? Which... That's your second fire.
Mrs.
Because
we're married.
Okay, sorry.
And she had to take my name.
Got it. Mrs. Kumart, that was a very well thought out question, and that was quite well done. If you would like to submit a question for the fire round and have us answer it on the podcast, just like Mrs. Kumart, please shoot us a message on Instagram or email us at canadagotsoul@gmail.com. Next up, the CGS picks. Each week, we all pick an upcoming sneaker to analyze, dissect, and give our thoughts on. Then we decide if it's poop, scoop, whoop-de-whoop, or Alvin's trademarked phrase,
super cute.
That's right. And by random drawing, for the 54th week in a row, I will be going first. And my pick, it was going to be my pick last week, but I made a mistake and I changed it last minute. But it's going to be my pick this week. Slightly inspired by the Last Dance documentary. The Flint Jordan Air Jordan 13 is set to return sometime. I mean, there's no real... confirmed release date now that this whole COVID thing is going on, but the Jordan 13 Flint, I don't really have to describe it for anybody, I wouldn't think, but it's a mostly navy blue upper with some flint gray on the midsole and the mudguard, and then a white toe box and some white on the outsole. But yeah, I'm a really big fan of the shoe. When I used to like really like 13s, I used to have like a ton of pairs, and I purged almost all of them, and this is one of the random ones that I just felt like I had to keep. I don't know. I think it might just be something about blue Jordans that I really like. So I still have this pair. So, I mean, it's not going to be a scoop or anything like that, but they're definitely cute. I'm a big fan of it. The last time they came out was like, when was the last time they came out? 2010 was the last time it came out. So it's been...
There's all of them.
Yeah, it's been quite some time since the shoe was released. It's been long overdue. It's a classic. I mean, it might not do that well because 13s don't really go well with skinnies or joggers, but at the end of the day, it's a classic shoe. And I think if you are listening to this, you should own it. So I'm going to call them cute, not a scoop, because I already have them. Maybe I'll wear them sometime this week and post a picture. Probably not, though. Joel, what's your pick?
Oh, so my pick is it's a women's Air Jordan 1 satin. I forget the name of it, what it's called. But it's like a satin with like a snakeskin on it. So it's a women's release only. So it's in like a Chicago colorway with a Chicago toe and whatnot. The satin is the tongue. And on the heel and the wings and the swoosh, it's all in the snakeskin black. It's a pretty dope looking shoe. The contrast with the snakeskin and the smoothed out white leather and the smoothed out like red leather on the Chicago toes. So I don't know. It's pretty dope, man. It's pretty cool. It'll definitely most likely sell out. August 15th is a release date. Going for $170 US, which is like 260 or two something.
Yeah.
240 Canadian, something like that.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
Yeah, man. Women's only. So
leave it alone.
Get on it. Yo. Yeah, leave it alone, bro. Women's only. But yeah, man. Super, super cute.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, there's something that's like throwing me off about it. The quality on them looks insane. Like the leather on the toe box and on the side panels looks really good. The snakeskin or python or whatever it is like, looks really well done as well. It's just, I don't know what's throwing me off about the, something's throwing me off. I don't know.
Maybe it's the contrast with the black.
It could be just the black. Yeah. It's a very stark contrast. You're not used to seeing, even if they did like a, like typical Chicago, the whole thing, red Chicago, but make red snake on just the heel. That would be pretty cool. I would think that would be really, really, really cool. But yeah, I'm on the fence about it, but cool shoe nonetheless. Alvin, your pick.
Hold on, can I give you an EEE first?
Sure.
What?
I found a release date for the Flints. It's May 30th, 2020.
Okay, officially.
Officially.
Okay, thank you.
Well, I don't know. According to Soul Collector, I guess Soul Collector is pretty official, so hopefully we're not giving you wrong information, fans.
May or listeners, 30th, friends. 1 month away. Everybody on what's coming, June 1st, y'all better have Flint on your feet.
Flint, I mean, if you don't,
International Flint Day.
Oh. So my pick was the Air Jordan 5 SE Oregon. So it's cool, man. It looks like the Jordan, was it a Jordan 3? Maybe. But the full upper is green. And then the midsole has fully black with accents of yellow. And then you got the duck on the back where the Jordan logo is usually. And then on the tongue, as opposed to a Jumpman, you get like an embossed or embroidered O for the school. Dope colorway. Always been a fan of those. And apparently these are dropping in September 2020. September 12th, to be exact, 2020, at a cost of $225 USD.
So yikes, 300.
That's like 300 and,
yeah.
That's, damn, that was a cop, but now it's a hella pass. no Alvin one's really going to cop that.
Just made up his own. That's a hella pass.
Super cute. It's a super cute. Super duper cute.
Yeah, like, I'm not sure if the pictures, I think we're looking at the same article, are of the sample pair that's like been kicking around for a couple of years or of the upcoming pair.
I think it's both.
But I'm wondering if they're going to have, because like when the UNC 3 came out, it didn't have any UNC branding on it. So I'm wondering if they're going to stick with the Oregon branding. I hope they do. If they do, that's so sick. But I'm wondering if they're actually going to release it with the Oregon branding, because they, I don't know, they should have done it on the UNC, and they didn't.
Yeah, for sure.
So
yeah.
I hope that they do it on the Oregons, because this is a cool ass shoe.
Yeah, there were other pictures that I saw that the tongue had a Jumpman on it. Same thing though, it was like embroidered or whatever, but so yes, like, I agree with you, man. I don't know if they're gonna come out with that. It'd be cool if they kept the duck though.
Yeah.
You need to keep the duck out there.
Yeah, for sure. Otherwise it's just a green five.
Pass for sure, bro.
Green fives, pass. Not even no beans either. Just green.
No beans.
Speaking of no beans, Tim. Well, I don't even know what that segue means. I'm sorry if you're insulted. It honestly, it's not meant to mean anything. What's your pick for us this week, Tim?
My pick is the Vans and a National Geographic collab.
Very cool.
Now, this is a weird situation because they were supposed to release on April 16th.
Awkward.
Friday. And they were actually taken off of the shows.
Oh,
I don't really know what's going on with the release, but there are five pairs. There's a slip-on, an authentic, an era, an old school, and a skate high. I think off of the NASA success. They decided, hey, we did space, let's do Earth.
True.
Some of them they look really dope. The era, it has like a school of fish. Crazy. Mm-hmm. Crazy.
Yeah, very cool pack actually.
So I don't know, stay tuned for an actual release. I'm definitely looking to try to get those eras.
Yeah, this is a very Timbo shoe for sure. I could see that for sure.
Yeah,
I like the, I think it's the Authentic that has all the covers of the magazine on it. Or is that?
Yeah.
That's a very cool pair as well. Yeah, the whole pack is really quite well done. But yeah, it's, like you said, it's weird. I just Googled it real quick and a bunch of results pop up, like Urban Outfitters, Vans, Sport Check, all pop up Sport as Check, like having it. And then you click it and it just says no longer available, which obviously is not true. That didn't just sell out in 4 days on every single website. So yeah, weird. Maybe they're just holding it back till after the COVID stuff. Who knows? But a really cool pack. I wonder if, cause National Geographic, I'm pretty sure is owned by Disney now. So, I mean, I wonder if that has anything to do with like the closures with Disney. I have no idea. But yeah, interesting pack nonetheless. Good pick there. What did you call it? I think you called it, a scoop, if I'm not mistaken.
The era is definitely a scoop. Those skate highs, I don't know. If that is. whatever's in between scoop and poop de poop.
a cute de poop, I think, is what we've dubbed it a couple times now. All right, next up. So this is a new segment. I don't have a cute little name for it yet. Right now it just says Sneaker Stories. At some point, hopefully we come up with a fancy pun sort of name for this segment. Anytime in the next couple of weeks when we're trying to do two a week episodes, the news has sometimes been lacking, obviously, because there's not a whole lot going on. So we want to fill the spot with something. And we thought that it might be cool just to, tell a story about a recent or just a meaningful pickup or pair in your collection that has a lot of meaning behind it, and then we'll kind of just all go around the table, if you will, and tell a fun story. So let's start with Joel, because he's first on my screen. Joel, what story do you have for us today? Story time. All right.
Story time. All right, so I guess when me and Mayor were first dating, we took a trip to Goodfoot, good old Goodfoot over there on 431 Richmond. So we're walking around, looking around, and behind the counter back in the day, they had like a consignment section. And I probably told this story before, but fuck it, I'm going to tell it again.
That's all right.
So what it was is that there was a pair of black cement threes in the case. And it was like an 01 black cement three with the Nike Air on the back. So that was like my ultimate shoe back then. It still is to this day. But yes, looking at the price, and she was, you know, trying to impress me and stuff like that. She's like, oh, how much are they going for? And back then I was like, oh man, so much, like $450.
Damn, back then that's a lot.
Back then that's a lot of money.
That's a lot now, but that's a lot back then.
Yeah, man. So she's like, well, do you want them? And I was like, oh, I don't even know if they have my size.
That answer. He didn't even say no. It's okay.
So, yeah, so Ace came up, like good old Ace came up, and he's like, yo, what's up, man? And I was like, yo, what's up? And he's like, can I help you? And I asked him like if there was what sizes did they have, or what sizes was that in the Black Cement 3? What size were they? So then he pulled them up. He's like, yo, they're 10.5. And then I just looked at Mayor, and then Mayor was like, that's your size. And I'm like, yeah. Right? So he's like, I have a dead stock pair, and I have this pair, which is like, you know, slightly yellowing. But you couldn't really notice it, right? So it was yellowing like in the midsole, like on the inner midsole, like that typical spot on the threes.
Mm-hmm.
So then I was like, oh, I don't know, man. It's a lot of money. And then Mayor was like, oh, just get them. And I was like, all right.
Fine.
So, yeah, we got that. And then I was able to get a hat as well. So.
Wow, he added the hat.
Free hat, yo.
While we're here.
Can we take a trip upstairs to the
hat? Wow, he went for the throat with that one.
Oh, yeah, man.
He went all in. That's a cute one. Thank you. I think you have told it before, but it never gets old. That's a very cute one. Alvin, what do you got?
It's going to be a doozy. It's going to be a long one, y'all.
Oh, give me that. Give me that.
Okay, so this is for like the first pairs that Sasha bought me.
Ooh.
So the Blazers. Okay. I can't remember if I've ever told the story. So we went to go visit a shop in Waterdown. It was like a skate snowboard shop.
Boredom. Yeah.
Sick.
Yeah. So that was the first time. I think my homie Sunny took us there. Shout out to Sunny. So basically, yeah. I found like the Baroque brown low dunk SBs, aka the Travis Lows.
Travis 1.0.
Yeah, yeah. Where Travis got his shoe from. But anyway,
yeah.
So I bought those, and then Sasha's like, oh, like, just pick another two pairs. And at that time, I was just getting into the whole SB thing. So I was like, man, all right, cool. So I looked at the sales section, because obviously I didn't want to spend that much money. But like, dog, they had all these blazers. So I picked the Viotech blazers. And I think they're called the Baroque Brown blazers as well. But like, I guess the barbecue blazers or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And those were the two pairs she caught me. So we're driving all the way home. And I'm amped to like take a picture of my shoes. Just so that was like way before social media. I just wanted to take a picture.
Yeah.
And then I open up one box. Okay, cool. It's the Dunks. Open up another box. Okay, it's the Viotechs. Open up next box. It's another pair of the fucking brown Dunks.
Oof.
And I'm like, oh my God. So I start stressing. I'm like, yo, where are my Blazers? But honestly, the guys that work there are mad cool. So I gave them, like, I kept calling. So finally they answered. I'm like, hey guys, I think you gave me the wrong shoe. They're very apologetic. The next day I asked my dad to borrow the van. So I had to wake up hella early, drop them off at work. And then after I dropped them off at work, I drove like fucking an hour to like Waterdown.
Yeah, that's not close.
Just to go back to boredom. Yeah. And then, I switched my shoes and now I still have those Blazers. I don't have the Dunks no more because I was like, whatever. But, definitely still have the Blazers in my collection. Because I can't get rid of those because wifey bought them for me.
Damn.
Nice.
That's so cute. Tim, you can go ahead. You can go ahead.
Big Iverson fan. Always favorite player all time. In the eighth grade, I remember we couldn't get Iversons out here too much. It was really tough. So my family used to go to Florida a bunch. And one summer, we were out there, and I was at a Foot Locker, and I saw the all-white A6 with the zipper.
Ooh,
zip on them. At the same time that the T-Max were out, too. I don't know if you guys remember the T-Mac 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
That T-Mac 1 was an all-time great shoe. Mm. And not that I was considering the T-Mac at all. I mean, I was taking a while to see if I could afford both of them. You know, spent all that allowance money in the 8th grade.
Nice. Stayed there.
Got those A6s and... yeah, it was a good basketball season next season.
Do you still have them?
No, heck no. They don't even fit me. They wouldn't fit me. What if they were like size 9 or something?
That's my size, bro. You were my size in the 8th grade? Oh my god. Shit. That's demoralizing as fuck. Speaking of demoralizing, time for my story. Way back, I guess it would be 2012, back right on the brink of when all this kind of hype shit was bubbling up. This is like right after the Concord 11 retro. So that was like huge. Like that got a lot of attention. There was like lineups everywhere. And it really like put the world on notice that sneakers were like kind of coming back to the forefront. And then All-Star Weekend happens in Orlando that year, and Nike basketball at the time is like the biggest thing since sliced bread. Like Nike basketball is the best thing in the world. And they release photos of the pack they're doing, and it's galaxy inspired Nike basketball packs. They did a Kobe, a K, like everything. There was 3 dunks. Like it was actually a massive pack. But the star of it all was the Foamposite, the Foamposite 1, the Galaxy Foamposite 1. So back then there was no like you guys said, like there was no real social media. So it was kind of hard to figure out who's getting what. Like this is when Instagram is kind of just first starting, to get bigger. So it was kind of hard even just finding out who's getting it. So release day comes, I find out that there's 3 stores, I think in all of Canada that are getting it. It was Foot Locker at Eden Center. It was Livestock on Spadina back when they only had 1 location in Toronto, and then Nike Toronto on Bloor. Rest in peace to Nike Toronto on Bloor. So took the GO bus down in the morning because I was younger, didn't have a car. Took the GO bus downtown and it dropped me off at Union Station, and it's kind of in the middle of all 3 of those places. So I had to kind of decide, okay, where am I going to go? And I already had an idea that Livestock was full. Like they had already seen, oh, I knew people in line. Like I knew that that line was quote unquote full. Like all the pairs were accounted for. So I walked over to Eden Center and talking to the people in line there. And they're like, there's actually like 3 lines. Cause this is back when lineups weren't really official. So there was no like official line. Foot Locker wasn't regulating it at all. It was literally just like every man for themselves. You're kind of just waiting in one of the lines. And then when the line opens, or when the mall opens in the morning at like 5 a.m., it's just a mad dash to get to the front of the store. And I was like, okay, I'm not interested in that situation. So I'm going to walk up to Nike Bloor. I walk from Eden Center up to Nike Bloor, which was in Yorkville at the time. I get there and there's like, I think it was 22 people in line. I jump in line. I assume that I'm good because I think that I remember hearing there was 24 pairs that they had or something like that. So I'm like, okay, I'm good. I'm getting a pair. I can trade, sell, whatever. Like I'm getting a pair. So I was happy. This is at like 11 or 12 a.m. So in the morning, the day before the release. So I think they came out on a Friday, which was strange. So this is like Thursday around like 11:30 a.m. It's February, mind you. February in Toronto, Canada. So it's freezing rain, snow, sleet. Every single type of precipitation that you can think of was coming from the sky. The line was actually super chill. Like that's where I met most of the people that we still call friends to this day. Like Shaheen was there. Mike M was there. JC416 was like a ton of friends were there that are still friends to this day. Morning time comes, the line kind of straightens out. They kind of start letting people in, and then they cut the line right in front of me. And they're like, what are you here for? And I'm like, the Foamposite. They're like, we're there. That's it. There's no more. So I was the 23rd person in line, and allegedly, like the story goes that there was 24 pairs, but 2 of them went to a Toronto Raptors player. So that would have been one of the pairs that I would have gotten. I don't know what size or whatever. So I didn't end up getting them. So like I said, demoralizing. So I didn't end up getting them. And then years later, Capsule, when they opened up their second location in Toronto, just around the corner from their first location, they did a surprise restock. And it actually ended up being David Wu winning a pair. And then... selling it. I found it on Kijiji. Didn't even know it was him. And he wound up selling it to me on Kijiji. Through another friend of the show, Khalil, actually. Got the pair from David Wu and sold it to me for well under market value at the time, which was very generous. Wow.
Nice,
so
nice.
Very, very good story. I hate the first part, but the second part is really good. So, yeah, we'll keep that going. If you guys have, I'm sure we all have a ton of stories. So every week, if there's no news, we'll keep doing, we'll come up with a cute name for it. Next up, previously in Kicks, this is the part of the show where we review our latest pickups and recap the latest happenings in our sneaker lives. Joel, anything to report?
Nada.
Nada. No pickup. Alvin, anything to report? Sneakers or otherwise, mind you.
I got blue light glasses. Oh yeah, I told you.
You told us that last week. Yeah, your old man gaming glasses.
But, yo, they help a lot because usually after playing like an hour or two video games, my eyes feel like fucking just drained. And now with those, like I'm good to go. Like I can play another 2 hours, or I can go straight to bed. Like it's crazy.
Are you an influencer for blue light glasses now? Was that like a little sales pitch there?
Yo, if you're old, if you're old like me, and you started playing video games again, fucking do it, or else you're gonna go blind.
That was a good testimonial. Thank you. No sneakers or anything. Just you're excited about your blue light glasses that you got.
Yep.
Okay. So the only thing, well, I guess it's two things that I have to report. One, finally, I don't know how long it's been. I don't remember I should check this original sale date. My Supreme Zoom Streak Spectrum Plus. No. That's the name. I made sure to write it down. I looked at the box and I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget. Zoom Streak Spectrum Plus arrived today. After many debacles, after many crazy happenings, they arrived. And they look fantastic, actually. The Supreme sticker's still on it. The retail price is still on it. Retail was $160 US. Oh, I paid under that. So I'm happy. They look really good. They were quote-unquote used, but they're like a NetMag used. Like they're like...
Oh, nice.
The guy wore them like to a party in a hotel or something, and they never actually touched outside. I don't know. And also today, I'm just going to put it in the atmosphere right now. I entered one of the coolest raffles I've ever seen in my entire life for the Skunk 2.0, Skunk Dunk 2.0. Mm. So last week, I think it was my pick. I discussed the new Skunk Dunk. And I guess it's official because the original artist, Todd Bratrude, I think that's his name, did the artwork on this pair as well. So I think it's officially a Skunk Dunk 2.0. I think they might be called the Grandfather Skunk or something like that. But it was an exclusive release at a Minnesota skate shop, of all places. Minnesota. It's called La Familia Skate Shop in Minnesota. Right. Minneapolis, Minnesota. And what they did is at 4:20... their time, so central time, which is 5:20 our time, they opened up a 4-minute raffle on a website or an app called Copdate. And the thing is, like, they kind of teased it. They were teasing it throughout the day. Like, they're like, oh, info on it is going to release at 4:20 via a Copdate. So I didn't know what that was. I kind of scrolled through the comments on the post, and I was like, oh, it's an app. So I downloaded it, made an account real quick. And I'm lucky I did, because for the rest of the day, and even still right now, the app has been down because it was just overloaded with people trying to sign up.
Yeah.
So 4:20 or 5:20 our time comes, and they post the raffle is now open until 4:24, which is, like, first of all, insane. But you just had to go on the site, put in your information, and you were entered, automatically entered. So I feel slightly good about my odds. I don't want to jinx it. But because no one was able to make an account because the app was down all day, you basically had to already have an account, and you had to be on your phone and ready. Because if you miss a post, the has a 4-minute window, then you're kind of screwed.
Yeah.
So I think that's pretty sweet. I've never seen anything like that. Like 4 minutes is unheard of, and you're going to make most people super mad. But at the end of the day, I got through and I was excited about it. So wish me luck on that. We'll see if I actually get through, because they said no out of country participants. But yeah, we'll see. Timbo, any pickups in the last couple weeks, couple months, couple years, whatever?
So the last time we spoke, my next pickup was supposed to be the Black and Red 11s. Couldn't justify it because I had the 08s, which terrible quality. I still wear them sometimes. I'm just like, what was anybody thinking? but couldn't justify that pickup. So, but I picked up a couple of Vans. I got the Urban Outfitters Patchwork.
Okay.
Super dope summer shoe. Well, probably not this summer, maybe next summer. Quarantine life. And then I also got the Vans Year of the Rats, old school. Super dope concepts on that one, and I love a gray sneaker. And then I also picked up a pair of Red Wings, some Iron Rangers, man.
Ooh,
nice.
Red Wing
boot
gang.
Yeah, I don't know. It's the about to be summer, and I just picked up a boot, but. Yeah,
that's all right.
Got a discount code, had to use it.
There you go. Quarantine has people all out of whack, so it's okay. It kind of it's so depressing right now that it kind of feels like it should be winter. So I don't blame you 100%.
Yeah.
Any non sneaker pickups? I know Alvin was excited about his glasses. Anything worth noting non sneaker wise?
Other than that, I've just been spending my time making cocktails.
Nice.
saw Whiskey Sour earlier in the day. It's now finished. But, yeah, just been picking up some random liqueurs here and there, trying out some new cocktails.
Nice, man.
Yeah, so we gotta do a cocktail night.
Okay.
Open up.
Okay, then. So we have to ask you a fuck, marry, kill quarantine edition that we had previously. It's coffee, juice, or liquor. Fuck, marry, kill. Quarantine edition.
I was thinking about that actually when I was listening to that episode. It sounds kind of alcoholic, but I'm going to marry you. Gonna marry liquor.
Don't put that on your resume or anything, but.
And then for the same reason that Alvin said about coffee, I'm gonna put coffee because sometimes you just need it.
Yeah.
And then whatever the last one was,
juice.
Yeah, I don't fuck with juice. So.
Damn, sorry, juice. You are being killed.
Yeah.
All right, next up, errors, edits, and e-messages. We're pretty smart guys, but from time to time, we make mistakes. So if you catch us slipping, hit us in the DM, and we'll let the world know that we goofed. So first of all, from Sneaker Life Husband and several other people, they made sure to let us know that the last time Chicago's came out was not 2013, it was 2015. I think I was guilty of saying 2013. I forgot about the 2015 release. I'm sorry. I don't own a pair, so sue me. He said Sneaker Life Husband said 2013 had the Jumpman logo on the tongue and 2015 was the Nike Air. But he did say amazing episode again and stay safe and wear your kicks inside. So he started strong, and then once he said wear your kicks inside, he kind of lost me. thank you for the input nonetheless, and thank you to everyone else who made sure to correct me ASAP. It's like people were waiting. They had their fingers ready. They're sitting on their computer with their fingers on the keyboard ready for us to make a mistake so they can send us a DM and say, well, actually it was 2015 that the whatever. Next off after that, from Laurent Zag. He's from Montreal, so it's Laurent. Laurent Zag.
Hello. Hello, Laurent.
There you go. He said, today's podcast was really good. I think he was actually referring to one from like last week. He said, not sure who dropped the tabarnak at some point, but that made my morning. You're all so authentic to yourselves, and I love it. Never change. That's dope.
Nice.
I guess French people do like
mercy buckets.
There
yo.
You go. Mercy, mercy buckets. French people like when we butcher their language. That's good to know, because we do it quite often. So that's good to know we're not offending anybody. Mercy buckets, Laurent Zag. And finally, this one's just like a personal one. So Peter.thepoet DM'd us like a super, super like four or five like essays about our Yeezy talk last week, last Thursday's episode. Because he's a huge Kanye fan, a big Adidas Yeezy collector. I can't read everything because it was literally like a whole conversation, but I just wanted to shout him out. Thanks for hitting us up. It was a good talk because from one Kanye fan to another, it was good to talk about Kanye West, because I'll never not talk about Kanye West. So shout out to you, Peter.thepoet. Next up, thumbs up, thumbs down. In this part of the show, we give our opinion on various sneaker-related topics with zero context or discussion. All we're allowed to say is, remember, say is thumbs up or thumbs down.
Yeah.
So because the Last Dance aired yesterday, it's on Netflix as of today, we've all seen at least a little bit of it. That's not really relevant to the thumbs up, thumbs down. I just want to say it. Thumbs up, thumbs down to Jordan 14s. Joel.
Thumbs up.
Okay. Alvin.
Thumbs up.
Timbo.
Thumbs up.
Yeah, I'm thumbs up as well. I gotta stop doing these unanimous thumbs up, thumbs down. It's boring. I need more polarizing topics over here. Anyways, next up, speaking of polarizing, you guys are gonna like this one. Next up, NSR. We talk about sneakers a lot, so in this weekly segment, we're gonna take 30 seconds out of the show to discuss something completely irrelevant to the world of sneakers, because we haven't been doing that the entire episode. this week's NSR, not sneaker related. So I don't know about you guys, but I'm missing food a lot. I'm missing leaving my house a lot. Going to the mall also. I want to know, what is the best food court food?
Oh, food court food.
Alvin, what do you think?
Food court food?
Food court in a mall food.
Like, are we looking at a specific restaurant. Mall that has a dope... Oh, okay.
Restaurant.
if I'm asked for one, I always go to Charlie's Steakery, bro. Yeah. I get that large Philly cheesesteak with some Cajun fries on the side. That was my go-to when I worked at Foot Locker Square One with Timbo. So
hey, that was my answer too, man.
Oh damn.
Charlie's, bro. That's my answer, man.
Charlie's. The fanciest food court answer I've ever heard. Joel, what's yours?
I like Jimmy the Greek, yo.
Okay. Yeah,
the chicken souvlaki with like you know the rice pilaf and stuff like that, and the extra tzatziki sauce, yo.
Do you want to try and say that? Do you want to try and say that sauce one more time?
The tzatziki.
Are you saying a car? Suzuki.
Suzuki Swift, yo.
David who? Suzuki? What?
David Suzuki, yo.
Oh man! Holy shit!
Yo, happy 420.
Speaking
yo.
Of, we yo. Can't pronounce anything. Tim, are you sticking with the Philly cheesesteak, or do you want to change your answer because it's boring? If you have the same answer,
not Charlie's, then I mean, I haven't been to Square One in like 2 years, but I think there's a Chipotle in there.
Okay,
yeah.
You got a Chipotle in the mall. You can't go wrong.
That's very true. Super I'm going to go with Bourbon Street Grill.
Yeah.
Bourbon chicken. Oh. I'll eat bourbon chicken until I explode. I love bourbon chicken.
That was
chicken.
A Bramalee go-to, bro.
It was between bourbon chicken and Manchu Walk. I'm a fan of both.
Really. Not, and that Korean barbecue spot, too, Bramalee. Jeez.
There's a lot of good. Any Asian food court food is usually pretty butter. I'm not going to lie. True. Even though it's not actually Asian food, it's whatever it is, it's delicious. It's probably not even actually, it's not Asian or food, really. So, next up, so we have Timbo here. Are you still with us,
yeah.
Tim?
Yeah, you're.
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. We didn't lose him halfway like Keith. Because you're here, you're our resident basketball expert.
Yeah.
We're going to talk some basketball. He is the utmost basketball expert in Canada, as I saw on his resume. And I'm underselling it with that statement, I think. So anyways, yeah. So I know you guys as much as me miss basketball, miss playing it, miss watching it, miss everything mm-hmm, about it. Mm-hmm. We used to talk basketball pretty regularly on the podcast, especially through the playoff run last year. We were talking basketball pretty regularly, and I think it was yesterday or the day before was supposed to be the official start of the NBA postseason. So this is all kind of lining up. I mean, we had the Last Dance air yesterday, which was perfect timing because everyone's staying home and not going out. So we're going to talk some basketball just for a little bit. If you don't like basketball, well, you're about to, because we're going to make you want to play in the NBA after hearing this mm-hmm. conversation. So the first thing, just to kind of get it started, I want to know, and this is a purely opinion based, but there are wrong answers. Aside from Michael Jordan, who has the best signature sneaker line of all time? So think longevity. So how many pairs are in this line? Think quality, think progression of technology and style, think everything. Who has the best signature sneaker line aside from Michael Jordan? Cause that's the easy answer of all time. And I'm going to let
Kobe.
Okay, go ahead, Alvin. Yeah. What do you think, Alvin?
Oh, this is for all of us? Not just
yeah, no, everybody.
Sick. I mean, you can't really go wrong with Kobe. He's got up to like what?
AD.
What was it? AD.
He went up to 11? I think officially 11, I think. I believe. 11, right? Yeah. Yeah. EEE yeah, that if we're wrong, but I think it was 11.
Yeah, 11's a good amount of silhouettes that you can play with.
That's true.
Especially with the unfortunate events, but like, I mean, all of the silhouettes were pretty dope.
Mm-hmm.
Technology wise, it only improved as it gone up, in my opinion. Especially with the 8, like I loved anything from 4 up in terms of comfort for basketball. But the 8 was definitely my, oh, there it is. The Milk Snakes. Yeah. I'm trying to preserve those specifically because I love that colorway of that specific shoe, but Kobe 8 for me was the best, and plus, it brought back memories of when me and Timbo used to play ball together. Shockers.
Alvin's just throwing all the love at Tim this episode. What a suck up. Oh, my goodness, Alvin.
Yo, it's been a while. It's been a while, man. I miss the magic.
You know where the magic happens, Alvin.
All right, Tim, you can go next. Make some magic happen. Let us know who has the best signature sneaker line of all time. And tell me why. 3-point essay.
So my original thought was Kobe for sure. Obviously I had to give some thought to LeBron James here. You know, Lawrence, you were talking about longevity, but also trying different things. You know, I think LeBron line really did that. You know, listening over the years to Jason Petrie talking about the different inspirations for why they use certain uppers, why they use certain cushioning. You know, thinking about the growth from the LeBron 2, which was supposed to be like this Teflon bulletproof vest for LeBron James, to the LeBron 7, which was a crazy departure from stopped using Zoom Air to Max Air, and then going back to Zoom Air, even with the playoff LeBron 9, they've done so many different things. So if it's not the Kobe line, then I think the LeBron line has a claim to fame in this question.
That's
true.
I don't know if anyone's answer is going to be as detailed as that one.
Yeah, man.
Here's the thing. If you want to talk longevity, I think obviously it's LeBron. He's at 17 now, probably going to, I would say at least 20 easily.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's that, like longevity for sure. And then if you want to talk about like progression and technology, and like you said, like trying different things, like he had Foamposite and now he has Flyknit. Like he's literally had whatever is the most technologically advanced option on his shoe every single year. Literally he introduced Battle Knit. He's literally like 300 pounds with a Flyknit shoe, like how, and they found a way to make that work. So if that's not impressive, I don't know what is. He's always kind of kept a similar silhouette but switched it up a little bit. So I mean, with all that said, it's obviously Kobe. Joel, what do you think?
all three of you guys narrowed everything down. Kobe, LeBron. I'm probably gonna choose. It was short lived. I'm probably gonna have to say.
Here we go.
Klay Thompson.
Shout out to Anta, good friend of the show.
The Anta. It was a good shoe. I never balled in them. So, I don't know. It was cool. If it makes you shoot like a Splash Brother, then yeah.
And that question was brought to you by Anta. Next. Next up, so Tim mentioned, I don't think this was a thing last time, but he mentioned to us that he's been refereeing in the NBL. Tim, first of all, I didn't even know what it was. I had to Google it earlier. And when I Googled it, the first thing that came up was the league that Jello played in, I think. The Australian, League. And I was like, Alvin, what is he talking about? He moved to Australia? Like, is he going to have an accent? I didn't know what was going on. So why don't you explain, first of all, what the NBL is, because I had no idea.
Okay, so real quick, I want to say that I have a development contract. I'm not a full official.
He's already making disclaimers.
Just in case I fuck up.
EEE.
Yeah. The NBL is going to send an EEE.
I had an opportunity to referee in the National Basketball League of Canada.
Sick.
Which has actually been around for a while, over 8 years now. Actually their first draft had Jamario Moon in it.
Oh wow.
Ex-Raptor.
Yeah.
Who could jump out the gym? Alvin shaking his head. Jamario Moon. He remembers. Mm. Yeah. The likes of Royce White. Grace the NBL of Canada as well. So essentially it's a semi-pro league in Canada. They currently have 8 teams, 4 in Ontario, and then they also have 4 in the East Coast. So it's also a traveling league, which is awesome. They service a ton of communities who don't have access to pro-level basketball. Mm. And, it's a really great opportunity to see more growth of basketball in Canada. And honestly, they play at a high level. Nice. It's the quickest basketball I've ever seen. Mm. The production value is awesome. When they get crowds, man, Family Day this past February is when I had a chance to referee in London at Budweiser Garden. And they had a packed house. It was a really great atmosphere. And I'm excited to see it grow.
Cool.
So I did like a little bit of research and I think it said, 2012, if I'm not mistaken, is around when it started. It started with like 4 teams. It went down a little bit and now it's back up to 8 teams. Do you see it growing bigger than 8 teams? Cause it seems like some of the cities are having trouble keeping, their teams afloat. Like some teams will come up for like 2 years and then they'll fold. And then there's some teams that have been around since the beginning. What do you think? Like, is it going to get bigger or do you think like 8 teams is where it's going to sit? Like, is it like a CFL situation where it's kind of been stagnant for like 87 years or is it going to keep growing? Shout out to the CFL.
Hey, man, 87 years, CFL. Long time. So if they're around for 87 years, I think they'd be happy about that. But I don't know a ton of the details about it, but I will say that coronavirus notwithstanding, they definitely had some momentum. Some of the reason why some of their teams had to drop off was a lack of talent. But there's not a ton of places to play where you don't have to go overseas. And that's a big thing for some guys because the overseas experience, from what we hear from the top athletes, you know, like LaMelo, and others, is it's a great experience, but there's a lot of guys who don't have a great time for multiple reasons. Language barrier, you know, sometimes when you go play in countries that, you know, don't have a ton of stability, sometimes guys don't get paid. So I think Canada has an opportunity to be another landing spot for, you know, Division I athletes that come out of school, they try the G League, it's not for them, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake in the G and they come to the NBL and they're going to get seen there. Because I know, speaking as an official, we have opportunities for NBA scouters to come and see us. So I'm also seeing that there as well. So
you just said, we're going to chalk it up here first and write it on the board. Tim P on True to Size 110 just said he is currently being scouted by the NBA. That's congratulations to you, Tim. That's insane.
Before he even said that, y'all, don't. Lawrence is partaking in 420.
I'm just repeating the facts that you are stating, my friend. I want to be the first to congratulate you on your NBA career. That's amazing. But yeah, that's cool. Like, honestly, I had no idea. And I think anything, like even you talking about it now, gives it some traction and some visibility. So it's cool. And I do hope to see it grow, because with all the stuff that's going on in Canada with basketball, like when I looked up, like the players and the rosters and everything, it was a lot of Americans. And I don't know if that's a good thing. Like, maybe it means that Canadians are progressing into the league, like into the NBA and the G League. Or maybe it just means that more Americans are joining the NBL, in which case it should be more Canadians for sure. So you hope to see at some point a lot of Canadian talent coming up through there as an alternative route. Is that, I know that, I think that in Australia, that's what Jello or Mello or one of the Ellos used for an alternative route to going to college. Is the NBL in Canada also that kind of situation, or?
I think those dynamics are really changing very often. So I know, for example, the highest recruit for the upcoming draft, he just got a the 2020 draft, but the 2021 draft. He just signed a $1 million deal to go to the G League. There's not a ton of leagues in the world that have $1 million to give to somebody who hasn't been proven yet. Mm-hmm. But I will say that it's an opportunity for guys to stay ready. So once you go to Division I basketball, if the G League isn't for you, if overseas isn't for you, well, you can't really play pickup to stay ready.
Yeah.
You can't wait for, you know, red shirts for practice teams for the NBA and stuff like that. You really got to stay ready some other way. And I think semi-pro leagues like the NBLC, that's an opportunity for sure.
That's awesome. I like that. For all the NBAers who listen to this, make sure you make this public, because we need this league to blow up so that we can get more. All the NBA players that listen to this, I know that LeBron is a frequenter of our podcast. As much as we don't like him, he always listens. I think he likes to listen to the hate. I don't know. He's weird, like, whatever. So last time you were on, it was, I think it was in the thick of the playoffs last year, actually. Like, it was like perfect timing for you to, it was perfect timing. And now we're in literally the complete opposite situation of that. But since you've been on last time, there's been a couple rule changes, both in the NBA, and in FIBA, which you brought up to us. The first thing I do want to bring up, is the NBA rule change, and it's the coach's challenge. because this is the first year that that's been around. It's been around in other sports for a long time, and a lot of other sports are starting to introduce it now. How do you feel about it? Do you think it's worth working? Do you think it's worthwhile? It would have been interesting to see it in the playoffs when it really mattered. We're obviously going to get to that point at some point, but right now we don't have the opportunity. But what do you think about it just in general? Because it's an interesting take on the challenge rule.
Yeah, you know, I think there's a couple things going on. I think it's really cool to have the opportunity to make a change, especially if there's a play or an incorrect ruling or maybe a correct ruling that happens at a very crucial point in a game where you can maybe get the right, whatever the right thing is to happen. We want to get it right so the end of the game isn't affected. At the same time, though, the way that I see the coach's challenge is the same way that I see the last 2 minute report. And that's not very effective. As an official, we recognize whether it's two of us on the court or three of us, we're not going to get everything. And I think to some extent, players also appreciate that we're not going to get everything. But the things that we do get, I think that as long as we're consistent with it, that's what players want. That's what fans want. That's what everybody wants. What I think the last 2 minute report does is it takes away, all of the work that an official does, to get to a place where they make a decision. So I'm sure, or maybe we haven't all heard, the idea that NBA referees, on average, they get about 94 to 96% of every ruling or decision is correct. Imagine getting 94 to 96% on an exam.
I did every single one.
You would be considered a genius.
Thank you.
But with respect to our NBA officials, they get the most hate. Sometimes maybe NFL officials might get some.
Oh yeah, they get it real bad.
I think maybe they're at the point where they're kind of like, people don't care now. They're just like, oh, those are NFL referees. But yeah, I think the NBA officials are some of the best in the world. And it's that last 2 minute report that focuses on the 4%. Where we may have made a mistake, and then, or we definitely make mistakes, and those officials would recognize, hey, yeah, I messed that up. That was my bad. I had a bad angle. But then we forget about the 96. So I think the coach's challenge, while it seems like a great opportunity, I think it also, takes away from all of the, the 42 or 46 minutes that was refereed very well. It kind of all goes out the window with that.
Interesting. So as an NBA referee, would you, if somebody challenged one of your calls, yes, I just called you an NBA referee. I saw you smirk a little bit. Like, did he just say that? As a future NBA referee, would you be offended if somebody challenged one of your calls? Like, as much as it's a rule, like, I feel like referees are almost like the police in a sense where, like, they may not like a rule. They may think block charge or the kicking out your feet offensive foul, is a stupid rule, but they enforce it regardless because that's what the book says. Like, I feel like they're very lawful individuals. They're like a judge in that sense. So the challenge is well within the rules of the NBA that a coach is allowed to challenge one call, very specific reasons, per game, and have it reversed or overturned or however you want to call it. Would you be offended if someone did that? Would you take it personally?
No, I mean, and I don't think, I think the way that our media represents those situations, it may seem like an official is taking something personally, or I think often what we've seen in this way is that something that looks like it's very obvious on the replay, it doesn't get overturned. And then we're like, oh, it's because they didn't want to look stupid in front of the crowd or whatever. you know, our initial look at it, maybe that's what's going on. But I think what might actually be going on is we don't know what's allowed to be overturned because we don't know what the rules are. And as an official, I come up against this all the time where not that I have the access to replay that I referee in, but we run up against people who play basketball when they were kids, have no idea that the rules change. And then they're like, oh, ref, that's a travel. That's a carry. Well, hang on, man. What's the rule though? And then that's where the conversation has to go. So I think maybe if our media members were to maybe give us the rules, because we're fans, we're trying to be entertained by the game. It's not our responsibility necessarily, but maybe we can put that responsibility on media members to say, here's a review that's happening. What's overturnable? Maybe the referee recognizes, oh man, that was totally out of bounds, but the guidelines say that I can't overturn that out of bounds ruling because I didn't blow the whistle for that. I blew the whistle because I thought there was a foul.
Yeah.
So the only thing I can actually look at is this a foul or not? Yeah, it was a foul, but the dude was out of bounds before that. So I think if we had more education, we'd all be in a much better position.
Interesting. It definitely, like you said, the whole media or fan versus referee thing is definitely very played up for sure. Like it's definitely the referee is made out to be the bad guy when at sometimes it does feel like that. Obviously, if your team is losing, you want to blame somebody. But at the end of the day, like I said, I feel like they're like a judge. Like they try to be as impartial or fair as possible, and they're literally just trying to enforce the rules as strictly as they can. So once again, as an NBA referee, you have the choice right now, and I know your employer, Adam Silver, may be listening, but you have the choice right now. Do you keep the challenge rule or do you get rid of it? Black and white. Keep or get rid of?
Get rid of.
Get rid of it?
Yeah, the game's already so slow with replay because there's so many things that you can challenge.
Yeah.
There's so many things that referees can look at. I think all as fans, we all are tired of the players even. As soon as that last 2 minutes hits.
Everything.
Every time there's a whistle, all we see is this.
Yeah.
That finger go in a circle. And the officials now have the pressure. It's not about the ruling itself. Now it's, oh, I made a call that I know I'm so certain about. But if I don't check this thing, then I look like I'm being an asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now I have to go spend 30 seconds to 2 minutes because, oh, now it's time for a TV timeout in the same time that I blew my whistle. So now I have to review this play that I know was a waste of time. My partners know. No flow in the game. And as a referee, you hate that. You want flow. You want players to go up and down. You want them to be yelling at each other, not you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, facts. Facts.
Get the challenge out. Maybe minimize the rules that we can stop for instant replay. And let's keep the game going.
Yeah, like there's two things I want to add to that. The first thing is I think there's a rule that or somewhere that them going like spinning the finger, asking for a review is supposed to be a technical foul. I don't know if that's a thing or if it's heavily enforced or not. I thought I heard somewhere it was supposed to be a T. Maybe it's in college. I don't know. I could be wrong. Or maybe it's a different sport completely. I could be thinking of a completely different sport. But I think, first of all, it should be a technical foul because, like, don't tell me to review it. If I think it's reviewable, I'm going to review it. The second thing, if you're like the personification of what you're talking about, is game 6 in Oracle Arena, the last game of the Raptors championship run, how it took literally like what 20 minutes to play the last 60 seconds of the game because there was out of bounds, there was this, there was how much time is left, there was everything. It was so annoying, and you don't realize how slow it makes the game go when you're trying to win a championship and you're trying to celebrate and it's ruined by the slowest fucking reviews and like the least climactic series of events you've ever seen. So yeah, I definitely agree with you. Speaking of rule changes, you mentioned that FIBA, which is an acronym for something that I'm sure you know. I feel like I know it, but I don't know it. FIBA is the International Basketball something. IBS, International Basketball something. They're trying to implement a rule to prevent flopping. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, so so something that I think we've all seen in the game, and for some of us, it's to the detriment of the game, is the offensive player kind of doing some unorthodox things to draw contact on a defender to try to trick a referee if they're blowing that whistle. And, you know, oftentimes, speaking from experience, I've been tricked. You know, we watch this stuff. We talk about it all the time. How's that referee going to be tricked into calling a defensive foul?
When James Harden always does that. How do they always? Right?
when that game's happening and you're trying to figure out who did what first, you can get tricked 100%. And players are getting crafty at really young ages, let me tell you. I can't tell you how many times I see a kid on the floor after a layup. Nobody touched this kid. And it looked like he got destroyed at the rim. Parents are freaking out on the way down. And I'm like, dude, check the tape.
Check your Instagram
your
story.
Check your mixtape.
Yo, look at that finger. So what I think FIBA is trying to do in terms of philosophy, so just to go to the rule a little bit, in the rule book, they talk about general principles of contact. And there's something called the cylinder principle. So each person on the court, there's 10 of us, each person on the court is entitled to a cylinder of space that goes around them. Mm. And a lot of times when we try to referee contact, we're looking at the defender. So they ask us to referee the defense and ask yourself, did the defender do something wrong here? Did the defender initiate contact by stepping forward when contact mm-hmm. happened? When moving side to side, did they contact at the hip versus contacting in the chest? We ask ourselves these questions. If we come up with a yes, then we have a defensive foul. Mm-hmm. But what we haven't done is looked at the cylinder of the offensive player. And so I think what the rule change is trying to do is ask us to look at the cylinder of both players. Has somebody left that cylinder? If they have, then it's up to us to recognize that that person is now no longer legal. And all of that contact now we have to think about who initiated that contact. Did somebody leave their cylinder? And it can be offensive and it can be defensive. Mm-hmm. So what I think that's going to help with is things like guys who are kicking out their legs on a jump shot. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about this before. It looks really bad when you have contact that happens to an airborne shooter. And I think everybody who's played pickup, who watches the game, knows that, hey, man, you cannot contact an airborne shooter. That's dangerous play. When you are karate kicking a defender while you're trying to shoot a three, because James Harden can do it, well, guess what, man? Mm-hmm. You left your cylinder in an unorthodox way, in a way that you are not entitled to anymore. And so what I think – what I'm hoping that this does is it gives a referee the opportunity to call an offensive foul on that play, to no longer just have a no call – or have a defensive foul, but to say, hey, you know what? The offensive player, they initiated illegal contact. Let's go the other way. Let's not reward that kind of faking, that flopping. I think it's going to be just cleaner for the game. I hope that we can use it as a teaching tool to say, hey, like, I know what you're doing. You can do it, but I'm going to catch you, and it's going to cost you. So. Mm-hmm.
I definitely like that. I feel like there's, like you said, like in the rules somewhere, I'm pretty sure I've heard on broadcast that's supposed to be a thing. But if they get more clear cut, like that explanation, I feel like I could walk out of my house right now into Scotiabank Arena and referee a game, because that was a fantastic explanation.
Yeah,
typically,
yeah. The thing I do want to say about that is you know, whenever this, if we are resuming the season or if we're going to start fresh, whatever Mr. Silver decides to do, I don't know if we're going to see that in the NBA right away, because again, that's entertainment. Although it is kind of funny to see Kyle Lowry freak out about getting an offensive foul on a 3-point shot and then just running out of the arena, that's super funny to watch. I don't know if we're going to get to see it right away at the NBA level. Any of you who are listening, who go to community gyms, whose kids are playing, I know Jomar's an up-and-coming star. So, Jomar, stay in your cylinder, my man.
Facts.
But, I'm hoping to see it at the university and the college and the high school and the prep at those levels. So then we can send it up. To the NBA and say, hey, we want guys that are allowed to play defense. Defense is cool too.
Wow. Defense is cool. Facts. You heard it here first, everybody. Defense is cool.
Refereeing is cool too.
I don't want to stretch it.
Be kind to your refs, guys. Be kind to your refs.
Definitely be kind to your refs, but we won't call it cool per se. Refereeing in the NBA is cool, so you definitely have that. You kind of touched on it, so we will cover it a little bit. Like we touched on it a little bit last week as well. There's been talk that sports may be coming back soon, that sports may come back and there'll be no fans. There's maybe sports won't come back at all. We'll live in the world where sports do come back, Tim. What do you think is the proper protocol here? Do they play out the rest of the season and go later into the summer to finish a season in full? Do they skip right to the playoff? Do they skip right to the finals and give us the chip? Like, what do you think the protocol should be here?
Man, I think this is such a tough decision because there's so much that's riding on it, not just money right now, because I know that's what the owners are worried about. The players are worried about themselves because nobody wants to get sick. You know, we saw Carl Towns' mom pass away. We saw players get the virus. But then we also, I think, you know, people that are involved in the decision making are thinking about legacy too, right? Like there's an aspect inside two seasons of NBA championships. Is this going to be a third one? Does the league want that? I don't know. I think the league also would benefit from players who are in their prime, who are just past their prime, cough, cough. These are their last opportunities, right? Not to say that, you know, this is the last hurrah for LeBron or anything, but that's a resource for the NBA.
Facts.
As a league, until you know he passes the torch to somebody else, I don't know. We can debate who that person's going to be, but you know, right now I think LeBron still has it. So
TD3, BP
TD3. Terrence Davis. Oh God.
There's a lot. There's a lot riding on it. So
super facts.
I really like the Disney idea, Lawrence.
Thank you. It wasn't mine, but thank you.
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
Adam, Mr. Silver, I know you're listening to this. Hit me up. We can work it out.
Really, I think what they're looking at is maintaining their resources, and that's the players.
Yeah, absolutely. That's, and like you said, like it would suck if Vince Carter's last game was some random game in the middle of February in Orlando rather than a proper send off, which he absolutely deserves. Or LeBron never gets his chip in LA because, you know, the season got cut short or because they rushed it back too soon and he didn't get back into shape. I think he was actually quoted as saying he's not in game shape anymore. So I mean, first of all, the excuse is already starting for LeBron, but what else is new? But at the same time, he probably has a point. I believe I saw quotes from trainers and athletic personnel saying they need at least a month of like full contact regular NBA training before they can play any games, like for their safety and just for like the product that's going to be on the floor. Like, you don't want to watch a bunch of bums who have been hanging out in their condo for 2 months play basketball, because it probably wouldn't be very impressive. I'd rather watch Tim play basketball, and that's that's a compliment and an insult at the same time. It's hard to do that.
I think that's a really delicate balance, though. Like, you know, what do you want people to remember about your product? You know, in our day where we have so much access to entertainment, whether it be TV, movies, podcasts, you know, people are doing concerts online now. There's so much access to entertainment. What do you want the lasting impression of your product to be? And I don't think it's 2 weeks, 2 weeks of practice for your top players, and then you send them off to play the toughest games of their careers. Maybe I don't think that that's good for anybody. So
yeah, it's going to be interesting. Obviously, there's no right answer, but like I said, I really like the Disney idea. I said it last week, and I'll say it again. Like, the Disney idea and just having it all in one quarantined Iron Ring type location where no one goes in, no one goes out, I think would be a really cool idea. And like you said, something to be remembered for. Like, they figured something out that would be the most memorable. Like, they were able to play the games. Like, you would be able to watch broadcasts all day because they would have to make sure they got every game in. So it would probably be literally noon to 10 p.m. every day. They'd be playing games just to try and get the season finished. And then the playoffs would start and they'd all be in the same place. Like, I just think the whole dynamic could be really cool, and it'd be a way to, I'm sure there's a way to market all that in there. It could be really interesting. But like you said, it's, they're a lot smarter than three out of four of us here, so I mean, you guys can pick, you guys can pick who's the smartest, but the NBA is the smartest, smarter than a lot of us who are talking about it, so I'm sure they have a plan that is far outweighs anything that we've thought of. Tim, thank you so much for being here. This was like really fun. We always like talking basketball, bro. It just reminded me, like, I'm going to, after the send-off, probably cry for an hour or two because I really miss basketball. But it was nice to chop it up with you for a little bit.
Always, man.
Please stay safe. Please stay home. Please wash your hands. Please throw out that LeBron jersey, and we hope to talk and we hope to talk to you soon.
I got the Lakers one in the closet. So.
I don't know which one I hate more. I'm can't lie to you.
I'll help you. It's the Lakers one. I don't like it either. What do you want me to
I mean, the I'm taking my talents to South Beach one also is really annoying. So there's, I don't know, they both suck.
Next time I'll put on this St. Vincent St. Mary's and it'll be okay.
That's better. That's before he was.
There you go. That one's the best one.
There we go. I can do high school LeBron. That's fine. Thank you to everyone who has supported and or been a part of the podcast. Wherever you're taking in this episode, please leave a comment, review, follow, and or subscribe. We've got a website we use for reviews, recap story, or no, we got a website we like to use as a forum, sell stuff and connect with you guys, called CGS Talk. You can find it on facebook.com/group/CGS.talk. We've got a website we use for reviews, recap stories, and much, 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 much more, called CanadaGotSold.ca. If you have any questions or suggestions for any of our segments, like the Soul Poll, Sneaker Heading for Dummies, or the Fire Round, shoot us a DM or email us at CanadaGotSold@gmail.com. Do not forget to use hashtag CanadaGotSold on Instagram for a feature. I've been Lawrence Hopkins. You can find me at LDoggyStyles on Instagram. Woof.
I'm Joel Hernandez. You can find me at Joe Dooney, JO_D3OsNEY.
My name is Alvin Quincy, and you can find me at MISTERQ and then Mart.
Big Tim, where can they find you?
Big Mart. You can email me.
He's single.
You can find him at your local NBA arena, refereeing the greatest players in the world. That's where you can find him. Thank you for listening to us talk about sneakers for 110 episodes, and please remember to rock your kicks. This has been True to Size. We have been CGS and NBA Tim, and we are out. Peace.
Peace. I like that NBA Tim, yo. Has a ring to it.
Y'all crazy.
NBA Tim, no Duncan, no.
NBA no. Tim, no Duncan NBA. For real. Oh, no.